Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Welcome to another episode of Atlanta Technology Leaders, brought to you by our friends over at Band of Coders. It's actually windy and cold outside here in Atlanta this afternoon, but we have a great show for you today. Later on in the show, I'll be talking with Courtney Staton, the marketing coordinator and sales representative of CyberScrub. We'll be talking with Barry Hyut, founder and CEO of ExciteGo, and hopefully I didn't butcher his last name too bad. And then we have Rob Spessard, senior director and general manager of South at Nexus, a dimensional data company. But first up on Atlanta Technology Leaders, we have Mark Miller, the Senior VP of Sales and Operations at Conoco Minolta. All covered. Did I get all that right?
You got it right.
Perfect. Well, welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about your backstory, your history, and how you got to where you are right now.
Sure. So I've been in the industry a long time, 28 years, and joined Conoco Minolta 4 years ago to really start developing their IT services business. And over the last, 3 years, we've acquired 14 companies and built All Covered. So it's been a pretty exciting time.
Definitely. And, I mean, it's not a small company either you're working for.
No. Conoco Minolta obviously is a global company, $14 billion. All Covered in the 3 years we've built it to be, close to $200 million business already. So.
All right. Well, can you tell our listeners out there sort of what you guys do just in a small scope?
Yeah, I mean, it quick statement on, I guess, is we like to say we provide, pretty dynamic managed IT services to businesses to help them really achieve their business goals through the, better management of information and more efficient collaboration.
Well, it's really sort of a wild west. You guys have to keep up with all the new technologies and all the different stuff and systems that people are using, don't you?
We do, and that's really what drives the business. IT used to be kind of necessary evil. Companies had to have it, but they didn't really pay a lot of attention to it. And today what we think is we can really help them turn it into a strategic advantage and make their company much more effective and efficient than they've ever been.
So what are the biggest issues that IT people are running into nowadays?
Well, security obviously is kind of the big one, that everyone has to face today. I mean, it's ramped up dramatically in the last few years, the amount of cybercrime out there and data security and things, which leads into, as you mentioned already, the technology issues or what's the right technology to bring in to make their business more effective. And, the big buzzword out there today with cloud and everybody trying to make a decision of, what is cloud computing and do they really understand it? No, it's really just that. It's a buzzword. But, I mean, I think it is something people need to consider. The way we like to look at it is it's really helping solve the other problems. It gives you access as a company to higher-end technologies and a much more secure environment for your data and your information.
It's secure and it's also a lot cheaper too, because you don't have to have these super systems anymore to run this kind of software. If you're running cloud based software, you have someone else doing the heavy lifting for you.
Right. Typically, our hardware is going to be much higher end than what they would run in their business typically, and so they have access to higher performance equipment without spending more money, and it's much more secure. I mean, it takes all of your what was on site and puts it remote in a high security data center that it's much tougher for anyone to get to than on-prem in your office.
Well, that's normally a huge pain point for companies. You guys are taking that and just erasing those worries so they can focus on the day-to-day activities.
Right. That's a key statement we make when we meet with them is really what we try and do is enable them to focus on their business. Unless they're in the IT business, then they really shouldn't have to worry about it. We provide a virtual CIO service to them, where we sit down and listen to their business direction and strategy and concerns, and then we help them map out a solution, and then we basically take ownership of it so they don't have to worry about it.
That's huge right there. What kind of companies do you guys work with? Do you guys work with small, big, large, all of them, run the gamut?
The full gamut. I mean, from the small, 10, 15-person companies all the way up to Fortune 500. The services change, depending on what level you're at. I mean, the smaller companies typically want a full-service outsourcing.
Definitely.
Package,
they might not be able to afford that high level CIO in their company.
Right. So we take over the whole thing. As we get into the larger companies, a lot of times we're in support of their in-house IT organization. They don't want to manage the daily operations We do a lot of, you know, national desktop support contracts, help desk contracts. So we handle those things. And then that allows the CIO at a larger company to focus on, you know, the strategic direction of the company and not the daily operations.
Well, walk me through sort of a customer engagement. I mean, you have a whole level, all different kinds of levels of services. How do you guys fit those to the different companies when someone comes to you and say, hey, these are my pain points?
Well, the first thing we do is, you know, we send out what we call an IT services consultant. And they sit down, and the conversation isn't really around the nuts and bolts of the IT infrastructure. The conversation is around that company's business and what type of information do they process. You know, the reason Konica Minolta got into this is, you know, it's really turning into an information management business, and that's what their goal is, to help companies better manage the flow of information. And to do that, IT has to be part of it. And so it just makes it a much more efficient offering when you can do everything from the the data management to the physical documents to the infrastructure it runs on.
Well, it's really important, too, that you guys actually have to understand these companies and how they run and how they make money for you guys to really serve them. So I'm sure you have a team on there that's doing that daily.
Yes, that's like I say, we have these solutions consultants, and then we have, you know, more technical people behind them to actually do the architecting of the solutions and putting it together. And then, you know, we bring in, depending on where it goes, more experts really from ECM and document management side of the house to talk about the physical storage and distribution of documents. And the Konica Minolta hardware devices work great as an onboard and offboard ramp for the information. And it really allows companies to take things that used to be, you know, 6 or 8 steps and turn it into 2 or 3 and turn paper-based processes into electronic and make it more efficient.
So what are you guys seeing over there? Are you guys seeing more people that are going away from having in-house IT staff, or do they still have maybe one guy that might coordinate with you guys? Or where do you see that going? Where do you think it's going to be in the future?
Well, you know, what we're seeing is a lot of the, let's call them mid-market companies, you know, companies with 250 employees, even 300 employees down. They may have a person on staff, but they don't want to have an IT staff. They don't want to have to constantly be hiring people. And as you said, technology changes so quickly. I mean, we invest a lot of time in the training and development of the people to stay current. And, they don't want to have to do that. All of a sudden, they have to have a training department, and they've got to constantly be hiring new people and looking for new skills. And it's just not core to their business. So they have a VP of IT or a CIO who's basically part of the executive team to create the strategy. And then, you know, we assign a person as kind of his peer to help them architect it, and then we manage it and implement it and run it for them.
Well, they don't have to worry about, like you said, bringing on people and trying to vet that. It's really expensive to bring on any employee, and bringing on IT employee, I mean, their skills vary, and it's sort of hard to find that right kind of IT person. But you guys all have those people on staff already.
Right. The big challenge is to have the right people with the right skills. So as a smaller company that's not in IT, you know, they may need a certain skill set, but they only need it for a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Well, to have it at all, you have to hire a person. And so they're hiring people to really use parts of people versus, you know, we can keep the people utilized 100%. So we have multiples of those people, and then they're really only paying for what they use. So if they're only using X amount of that person for us to provide a certain service, then our pricing's based on that. So it's much more efficient for them.
Definitely. All right. So a lot of things are going more mobile recently, and a lot of companies have embraced that, and they're sending out more files and secure things to mobile devices. How are you guys changing with the trends and helping that kind of security problem?
That's been a big thing for us over the last 12, 18 months. A lot of our current customers, and even a lot of customers that were, you know, new prospects that we're meeting with, that's one of the big things. Everybody wants to use, you know, iPhones or tablets of some sort, and you know, companies are now having all their data on all these devices, and the fear is if they lose it, you know, how do I know what's on there? How do I control the access? The person quits. And so, you know, we've put together a very robust mobile device management program where we can help them create that strategy, and even have, you know, if they want to, a virtual desktop infrastructure where we host all their applications and things in the cloud. And, you know, we push it out to where they have a virtual desktop on their device, and we can control it. So
they have the whole infrastructures right there on the device, but you guys are controlling it like any kind of VPS or
absolutely. They can have access into everything without the data really being there. And then at any time, you know, that company can turn it off or restrict access to things. So they can, you know, decide tomorrow they don't want you to see certain things, and we turn it off, and you don't see that anymore. So
that's awesome. Are you guys doing anything else, sort of more forward thinking, with any other new technologies with your services that you want to tell the listeners about?
No, I mean, you know, we're not a developer other than, you know, we do some application development with SharePoint and things to help companies out. You know, what we really like to say is we just help people be more efficient at doing it. We're not out there inventing new things. But, you know, the analogy I always use is a chef in a restaurant has access to all the same ingredients I do, but when he cooks it, it tastes a whole lot better than when I do. And so it's the same thing with this. The technology that's out there, you know, you really have to know how to put the pieces together.
Well, definitely.
To make it come out well. So,
and I think you bring up a really good point. A lot of these smaller companies out here are trying to do all this themselves, and time is really money. Even though they're trying to learn all this stuff and do it, you guys are the experts. So if they can just hire you guys on to take care of it, they'll be able to grow their business so much faster.
Typically, it's way more efficient, but even more than that, it does save them a lot of money because they usually don't do it correctly the first time. So they do a lot of this trial and error. They buy things, and they try and do things, and it didn't quite work right. So now they got to go buy something different. And then they go get an opinion from somebody, and they try something different. And
it takes you guys longer to fix it.
Absolutely. But in the end, they've spent, you know, 30, 40, 50% more than they should have had they had someone in there in the beginning, you know, architecting the correct solution for them from the get-go. So
definitely. So what do you guys have in the coming months? What does 2014 sort of look like for you guys?
You know, 2014 is I would say a pretty busy year for us if we follow through with everything we've put in place. You know, we're very focused on growing the organization, continuing to grow the organization. We've got several acquisitions that are in the process, as well as, you know, just working with the existing Konica and Ulta customer base to help implement the solutions in the customers that they currently have that our services aren't in yet.
Definitely. So what do you guys need? What can we help here at Business Radio X? What can we get you more customers? What do you need more of?
Yeah, we always need more customers, so everybody always wants more customers. So no, we just appreciate the opportunity to come in here and speak on your show. And, you know, the big thing out there is just getting the message out. There's a lot of small companies out there today that people are using or that we're competing with that, you know, really aren't the level of an organization that
larger
companies need. Right. So, you know, that's what we want them to understand is, like I say, it's everyone, just because they have the same ingredients, doesn't have the same product.
I love that.
And that's really what it is. So,
how would our listeners reach out if they want to have a conversation with you guys and learn more?
Sure. The easiest thing is to go to the website. So it's www.allcovered.com. And, you know, you have all the information on there and services. And there's a tab for locations, and you can kind of pick where you're at, and it gives you the local address and phone number, and just reach on out. We'd love to come out and see you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Well, next up on Atlanta Technology Leaders, we have Barry Hyute with ExciteGo.com. Did I get it right? Did I butcher it too bad? Or?
No, you got it right.
Oh, really? That's a first. All right, Barry. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me about what is ExciteGo.com?
ExciteGo.com is a new e-commerce platform. We build a marketplace exchange for hotel rooms where buyers and sellers can compete in real time to buy and sell hotel rooms just like the stock market you would do for stocks.
So walk me through that. How does that work? Do I get a hotel room and then I try to leverage it later on so I know that people are going down to Savannah, I'm going to go rent a bunch of hotel rooms and then I'm going to auction them off to people for St. Patrick's Day? Or how does this work?
No, actually it works like you used to in any other site. You go in and let's say an example, you say I want to go to Atlanta. You pick up the neighborhood. Let's say you pick Buckhead, Midtown.
Yeah.
And then you pick the star ratings that you want, 4 or 5, the dates, and then marketplace opens. But unlike all the current models where you only have the supply side and only the sellers, in our case, you also have the demand side.
Okay.
Side by side. So if you like any of the offerings on the supply side, you can just book it and get it over with.
Definitely.
And if you don't, you can place a bid, and that bid is dynamic, which means other people can join your bid, you can change your bid, just like you do in the stock market in NASDAQ. So it's dynamic.
That's huge right there. So tell me a little bit about your background into this. How do you decide to quit your real job and become an entrepreneur and attack this problem?
Actually, in the 90s, I was in corporate finance and investment banking. I was helping small entrepreneurs and small companies raise capital, go public, and so forth, which evidently has come to ExciteGo at this point. And then in the 2000s, I got into the healthcare business. I was the CEO of a public company, a healthcare company, in management of outpatient radiology centers. And through that experience, I got exposed to information technology, and I started investing in the cloud-based technology business. and sold those clinics in the end of 2010. And 2011, founded another Atlanta company called Excite Health that has a cloud-based system that serviced the providers, the payers, and also the ERP all on the cloud. And we have already doctors using the system. Okay. But it was through that experience that we were trying to help doctors sell perishable product that we came to ExciteGo. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, just walk me through the – I want to walk through the engagement of me going on the website, and I know you talked about it a little bit, but – so I can just bid on a any hotel room, and I'm going to get competitive pricing on it, or
– Okay, what we do – okay, we make the user the king of the hill.
Okay.
Right now, what we have in e-commerce
– Yeah, you have the places you go, and you can see the prices.
Yeah, the buyers are isolated at the point of sale. It's always you, the individual, that having to go from site to site to site, no matter what it is, you have to shop their catalog of prices if it's in hotels, and either you take it, you book it, or you go. What we did with – we think that the market is flawed because we kind of ignore the demand side.
Yeah.
So we added the demand side. In our site, when you come in, we still pull all the deals and all the sellers that want to sell the product that you look for, the criteria that you
But they're decided. They're trying to get me when I put what I want, my criteria.
They can in real time compete and change the prices to offer you the best deal.
So I just get to go in there and say, I want to go on a trip to Paris. This is the location I want to get, and this is how much I want to spend. And then they're going to all start bidding on it, trying to give me the best.
You're first going to get all the best offers that they have. They can change them dynamically if they want to. But first, you're going to get on that side all the offers. And you can, if you like any of the price or any of the offers, you can book it and get it over with.
That's huge right there. You guys are solving a huge problem, and you're making it really easy for me, the customer, saying, I want to go here, and I'm guaranteed to get the best price because I'm going to see them all, right?
Yeah, we're making it very convenient and easy for you to see them all. And give the sellers an opportunity to compete in real time to offer you the lowest price. But if that's not good enough, you can say, I don't like even the lowest offer. This is the price I want to pay, and this is my bid, and you post it. But it's a transparent exchange. It's not a closed marketplace.
Yeah.
You're not bidding against ExciteGo inventory. We don't have any inventory.
Yeah.
We're like NASDAQ.
Yeah,
we just put
just
a platform.
There.
We let the sellers comes in. We let the buyers comes in. And we let them compete in real time, and we let the market dictate what it dictates.
I could see this being the future of any kind of marketplace, really. You guys might be forward-thinking and really changing how everything works to make the user more powerful.
Yes, we build it for every product or service, as a matter of fact. But we decided to start in hotel rooms because it was easier to bring through APIs a lot of inventory into the supply side. On the bid side, our customers are more important users over the last 20 years of purchasing products online, and we thought it would be a good place for proof of concept.
So is there anyone else doing anything like this? Do you have any competition in this space right now? Or
no, everybody is an isolated supply-only site.
So you guys are just going to change the whole game, and then everyone's going to try to play catch-up with you guys once you succeed.
That is the intention.
Okay, so how far away are you guys from launching? Are you guys live right now, or...?
We're going to have by early to mid-June, we'll have our beta site ready to go. Right now, our website is open. People can go in and put their emails, and they can participate in the beta as soon as we'll have it launched. Alongside with it, at the same time, we'll also launch all our mobile applications for all tablets and phones, both Android and iOS at the same time.
How long does it take you to go through this whole process from ideation to the product that you have now?
Because we already had the platform built in place that we built for healthcare, we already had a lot of that built. But to build a specific applications to be able to do that, it took us about a year and a half to do.
All right. So walk me through the revenue model for this. What's the revenue model behind what you guys are doing?
It's very simple. The sellers pay 10% of the once they sell a room. Other than that, there's no other cost.
Okay. So that's a no-brainer for the sellers, really.
It is, because today they pay middlemen. Actually, this industry is dominated by the middlemen, and the middlemen are the OTAs like Priceline and Expedia and so forth, and they're taking a lot more than that. In our model, the hotel owners, that's another great feature, that the hotel owners or the hotel sellers can connect directly with the sellers and pass some of the savings and the pricing directly to the end users.
All right. Well, that's a good point. Bring up some more of the other things that the hotel owners are going to benefit from using your service instead of these other services.
There's numerous benefits. The very first benefit is for the very first time, they'll have a marketplace where they can shop the buyers. versus just sit and wait for somebody to come and buy the products, whether directly or through middlemen. So first and foremost, obviously, they can now they see these people want this for this bid for this price, and they can decide if they want to take it or not. So that lowers. Second, we're lowering the acquisition cost. It's only 10% flat. Third, we're enabling them to sell block of shares, block of rooms at a very low cost, move large volumes at a very low cost by basically the power of the click.
Definitely.
To do so. And fourth, they can offer block offers. So in our system, they can go in and create an offer for, let's say, 20 rooms at a heavily discounted price, but only if all the 20 rooms are being sold.
Okay.
Now people can go in, rush in, and the first 20 to come in and pick those rooms, they got them, and incentivize this way they can move blocks, not just individual rooms.
That's huge, too, and that's engaging the customer, too. That's really cool. You see, I might tell my friends, I'm like, hey, there's only 5 rooms left. We can get a great deal on this. We can all go to the Bahamas together. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Exactly. But even better yet, you go to the Bahamas with your friend, you can create a block bid. You can create a private block bid only for you and your friends, and everybody can go in, put his credit card privately, but still this is a block bid. Or you can do a public block bid and say, I'm going to New York. I want to be in Broadway, a 4-star hotel. Here's the price. Who joins in? You can tweet it. You can have people come in, join your block bid, and now hotels will see the blocks and they're more incentivized moving high volumes.
Well, that's huge, too, for the hotels because these rooms are just sitting there. They're losing money on them. And if they're having a slow season, they could go sell them at one-third the price, whatever they want. They can do it actively, like you said, at the power of a click. And they can fill up their hotel rooms and increase their revenue during their slow seasons as well.
Absolutely. In fact, 37% of the hotel rooms in the U.S. go unsold every year, which is over $70 billion a year. I got to believe that if the hotel sellers had a marketplace where they could shop the buyers and see, wow, I can sell 10 rooms here, 15 rooms there, and 30 rooms there, they will increase their marginal sales.
When you were doing your customer discovery and customer research, did you talk to a lot of hotels, and were they really excited about this prospect of doing this and being involved in this?
We did. They're excited. But in order to bypass the one-by-one process, we went and got APIs and wholesalers, okay. And we connected to them, and we're getting the inventory as we're continuing to approach hotel management companies and other companies. But also, we are, it's very easy for any hotel sellers, whether over 50% of the hotel in this country are owned by small business owners, to go quickly on a platform, register. Once we verify their identity and they actually own these hotels, they can quickly make offers, save transaction fees. It costs them $6 every time they want to use the system.
That's a no-brainer. This is really going to – I could see this snowballing. More people are going to hear about it, and it's going to grow bigger and bigger really, really fast, exponentially.
Exactly. To make marketplaces efficient, you need volume. The more volume comes in it, the more powerful the buying side will be, and the more incentivized sellers will be to jump on the platform, offer offers, or accept bids.
Well, and on the even bigger picture, you guys have this platform here that I think a bunch of other people in this e-commerce space are going to want to use, and you guys have that platform, so you could sell that to them and they could use it the same business model.
We also build it as a service for other sellers that they have platforms that they would want to monetize their communities, and they don't have a revenue model to monetize their communities. So we build it in such a way that they can quickly, and we have great ideas that we obviously don't.
Yeah, the secret sauce. So we
exactly. And then they can come in and monetize their own businesses. So we can be in the background, provide a platform for others that they can do them, and obviously we'll have it for ourselves.
That's huge. This is really a game changer. This is going to change a lot of stuff, I think. I always love seeing forward-thinking ideas.
Yes, we build this platform to be global. We build this platform to be for every product and every service. We're starting evidently in travel, and we think that this is the new way of doing business.
Well, I love it. Well, how do our listeners learn more and reach out?
They can go to our website right now, www.excitego.com, without the E, excitego.com. They can register. Just put an email, and we will let them participate in the beta when it comes soon.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on. Do you have a personal website, too, if they want to maybe use this platform, hire you guys to use the platform and rebrand it, or is it the same website?
They can reach us at the same contact on the site.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on and joining us today.
Thank you very much.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Technology Leaders, we have Courtney Statton with CyberScrub LLC. Welcome to the show. You've been sitting there patiently, laughing at all the right times, nodding your head. So
Hello, hello.
So tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into this company and what you guys do.
Okay. Well, actually, I graduated last year from Georgia Southern University.
So congratulations.
I'm actually new into the corporate world. Thank you. So I basically was brought on to basically take CyberScribe to a new level with marketing and creating sales by doing that. If I could go ahead and introduce, we basically just present ourselves as the technology leader in secure deletion of data within both enterprise and user level. So we basically play a key fundamental role with user privacy and data security, which are the two major things that drive security protocols within a lot of corporations.
Wow, that's a lot. So you've been brought on. You're out of college, and you come on to really attack their marketing problem. What are you doing there in the marketing space and helping them get the word out?
Well, basically, I've been creating a couple of videos to basically promote CyberScrub. Mm-hmm. Basically, a general video of how CyberScrub plays a role and how it can be incorporated for your household or for the inside of the corporate walls as well. So I've been trying to get the word out on that and creating multiple pages that we didn't have at once for like LinkedIn and social media and such like that, and just networking and branding and getting the word out with not only just the retail market, but bigger corporations as well. So
perfect. Well, yes. Tell me how CyberScrub works, how you interact with it, and how it sort of helps with all these problems.
Okay. Well, I'll just mention as time passed by, internet usage of computers started to grow tremendously, leading people to store confidential information over the internet and even on local computers at home, like I mentioned. Storing this information electronically was the next best thing without even thinking twice about it.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
So you guys help with just keep all that secure?
Basically, if I can give it from an example standpoint.
Yeah, go for it.
I guess you could say thinking of a cactus when first bought, it's very low maintenance. The thorns are still developing, and next thing you know, it's bigger, and it can actually do some damage if touched. So it's almost just like the data that you have on your computer. It starts off small. It doesn't bother anyone. But as it grows and becomes more of a risk to have, you start to think, well, where did all this unwanted deleted data come from? So therefore making all of that information vulnerable to the public, and then you know that you're not safe. So we basically just come together and developed these solution tools for users and enterprises to utilize within their walls of homes and organizations.
All right. So how do these tools work? How does as a consumer, do I download something? Do I run a scan?
Well,
or
I'll give you a gist of two. We have quite a few products and tools, different depending. But two of them, CyberScrub provides one thing called CyberSide, which completely nukes your whole computer. So this is more of like a deathly sin. So say if you wanted to get rid of or donating the computer or getting rid of it, or even just giving the old computer you have as a new computer to someone else that might need it, and you don't want all your information on there. Because technically, when you delete the information off of your computer, it's still there. So how else to get it off the hard drive but crashing it in the street or something like that, physically destroying it. So why not create this eco-friendly way of getting rid of unwanted deleted data, and also a cost saving as well? Because then you're putting that physically destroyed hard drive in a landfill that is stored up piles and miles and miles, and then you have another problem on your hand in the world.
Definitely.
So why not benefit by donating, giving someone else a happy feed, and then also saving your money, and also, you know, being able to
give you peace of mind.
Yeah, it's giving peace of mind knowing that no one can retrieve it. No one. And it's DoD standard, so it's pretty much
so I can feel safe. So
you can feel
so
safe.
If you have any teenagers, 16-year-old sons out there, you can resell their computer, no worries. So
yes. So that's what we've done to create it. We have a compliance suite as well that go heads in any type of corporation that might have certain security protocols that the product might not have around. We can create and alter the actual tool to work in the environment that they have.
Okay. And is that the only tool you guys have, or do you guys have a suite of tools?
No, we have a suite of tools. My thing, when I first came into the company, I thought of it kind of as like a recycling type of field. I thought of five keywords when it first came to mind, which were basically accessibility, security, privacy, compliance, and then disposal, because that's the last thing. So the main reason why I thought of those five keywords is because many want something that will not only allow them access to their sensitive data, but the desire of protection that will leave users feeling safe when deleting that targeted data. So it's just making sure that any of that personal information is kept exclusively to themselves within, you know.
So how are you guys competing with other people in this kind of space? Because I think there's a lot of companies out there that are doing this, aren't there?
Well, it's quite a few, but the only thing is different is that we provide more so of a DoD standard. It's more so if somebody wants that reassurance, okay, if you're in a corporation, someone wants a log file,
yeah,
something of that nature. So we provide log files that have that specific hard drive has been erased on this date of all the data that you targeted off of.
Okay.
Most people can, you know, delete something and they're like, okay, so what now? Is it gone? Or is no one can access it? So you can also create your own passes within it. So say DoD standards 3-pass method. That's all you have to use. Some people can even make their own algorithms as to change it just so they might feel safe with their own standards and stuff. So you can alter it about how you feel most comfortable with doing it.
Well, I can see this is a big thing. Personal people, I know a lot of people out there probably don't even realize that when they're deleting something, it's not actually deleted. But for corporations, I think, as we talked about, security is it's huge. And if they delete an important file, they want it to be gone for good because it might have secret sauce secrets on it or this or that. So I think that's huge what you guys are doing.
Yes, and like for even like just companies, like there have been, I don't know if you guys noticed, there have been huge data breaches this past year with a lot of corporations, and we've just think like, why not take care of the basics before, you know, a problem has arisen? But they don't really take care of that problem until it's staring them dead in the face. So it's something like, okay, well, maybe we should have gotten rid of this a long time ago. Now that we have all of these forensic discovery costs on our hands, now we have to pay more money not only to get rid of those drives, but to also pay them for the things that they found on those drives.
Okay, definitely. So what's next for you guys in the coming year?
Well, we've been around for a while. We've been around for about 10 years, but at first we only targeted users, just mm-hmm. individual users with just getting rid of browser traces and such like that. But we've really been targeting bigger corporations this past couple of years and basically creating where there's more so of a safe environment within corporate walls. So we've had end-of-life solutions that you can completely get rid of it, and the ongoing solutions that we've created recently that can be utilized. So if there's employee information that's left on, you know, somebody's computer, you can basically set it up to where daily, weekly, monthly, you want that information gone from that file, and we have probably 550-plus definition files that you can target. So it updates every year, so it's not one file that it can't target too much.
So how are you getting in front of these companies that you guys are working with?
Well, networking in my case. Okay. Going to as many events that I can possibly go to. Like I said, social media. And basically going to a lot of data governance, basically events that they have, basically hosting them. And what they have is people that come there and they have all of these new security protocols they have to follow. So they're like, okay, well, now we're panicking and we need this and we need that, so let's get rid of it. So we're there just to like let them know that, you know, why not take this
peace of mind
and take an eco-friendly route and just benefit everyone at the end of the day.
Perfect. Well, how do our listeners reach out, or the companies listening reach out and contact you guys if they want to learn more?
They can go to our new revamped website at www.cyberscrub.com. It's CYBERSCRUB.com. And you can definitely find a lot more information on there and how you can contact us.
All right. Thank you so much for being on.
No problem.
All right. Well, last but definitely not least, we have Rob Spessard with Nexus. I butchered your name. I mess up someone's name every
That was the German pronunciation.
Okay, there we go. So tell the listeners how to pronounce
it. Spessard is what I go Spessard. By here in the U.S. Okay. Most people just call me Spess because they can't pronounce it.
Okay, perfect. So I don't feel that left out. So tell me a little bit about yourself and about Nexus.
When I started my career, I spent the first about 13 years of my career in the finance world doing mergers and acquisitions, leveraged buyouts, and venture capital.
Oh, small stuff, right?
Yeah. and then one of the last transactions I did was the then current CFO of a predecessor company and a company I used to work at just in a similar space. I financed that business, and he brought me on board to build the professional services group and technology group of that part of the company. And then roll forward, I joined Nexus in 2009 and have been there ever since, and it's been a great ride.
Definitely. Well, tell our listeners what Nexus is and what they do.
So we're a business solutions provider. Some people refer to them as solutions integrators. You know, the terms keep changing. But in essence, we're providing technology enablement solutions to meet business needs, from networking to virtualization, storage, compute platforms, disaster recovery, cloud managed services, kind of the whole gambit.
So you guys do it all for anything anyone could possibly need in that space. You guys are a solution
provider.
Pretty
much. We try to focus our offerings around larger middle market companies up to very large enterprise companies.
Okay, so the smaller companies, they can fit in somewhere else, but you guys are specialized in these. Those are the companies that you can really serve.
Yeah, that's really our bread and butter.
Well, talk a little bit about the services and how they work with these companies.
Well, it can go anywhere from a traditional design, build, implement, and then manage solution, where we're working with them on it starts usually with a business conversation of something they're trying to solve, and then we find a technology solution that solves that issue, and we help them design and craft it, how they're going to pay for it, and then we implement it with our implementation side engineers, and then we can manage and babysit that from a managed services standpoint. Post that event, or if it's a cloud offering, that's a completely different approach. It's similar in the beginning, but it ends up being something they don't purchase, own, and run. We do that for them.
Okay, so I have to. I feel like all these companies, they come to you with these problems, mm-hmm. and it's something they don't really understand, right? The technology part, they might not so grasp it. They're growing rapidly. They're getting more customers, but they need an infrastructure to support that, and that's where you guys come in and help.
Yeah, true. I think that part of the issue is, even though most of our customers do have IT departments, the difference is that the technology world is changing so rapidly. There's always new things entering the equation, and like one of the prior people talking said that they don't necessarily have that skill base, and we continue to live at the point of the spear and participate in those new technologies. So we do have that experience, but probably just as important, even if they do have experience in a given technology, they're really only looking at tweaking it, changing it, or evolving it once every, pick a number,
one,
2, 3 years.
Yeah.
We're doing that for multiple customers every week. So we see all the gotchas and the issues and differences in those environments, and our engineers are typically very senior and very experienced. Well, so that intellectual capital, when you really get down to it, is what they're buying from us.
Oh, well, definitely. And you said they change it to 2, 3 years, right. But still they have to make that big leap, and then they might be getting a new technology that might not be tested, or someone sold them this.
Right.
So you guys are staying ahead of that. How do you guys stay ahead of the trends and the demand? Like you said, technology is always ever-changing.
Right.
How do you guys find the next thing that's going to be the solid staple in the business?
So one of the things that we pride ourselves in is kind of living at the point of that spear with all of the other technology vendor partner providers, the manufacturers, for lack of a better way to say it. We're dealing directly with their business units. We typically participate in their alpha and beta programs internally, and we deploy those technologies in our production environment inside of our company.
Okay.
Typically, either ahead of or right in concert with some of the very first commercial deployments of those technologies. So we live through the pain.
You have the nice little test case right there.
Right, yeah, but it's actually a live environment, which gives us a very close relationship with those vendor partners, because they find value from us and what we learn and teach them. And then our customers see the same value because of that.
And you guys pass that. You pass all that knowledge along,
right.
And you can give them that stuff. You guys recently got acquired, though, didn't you?
We did.
Talk about that. Talk about the how that is, and that's really exciting.
So the Dimension Data acquired Nexus, which
they're a huge
Nexus
company,
is now a Dimension Data company. Yeah, so they're Dimension Data is globally about a $6 billion company. In the Americas, they're about $1 billion. And in the United States, Nexus is about $500 million. So
wow.
We now up their Americas footprint from $1 billion to about $1.5 billion. Nexus has about 650-plus employees. Excuse me. We came to the South just over 5 years ago. There were 5 employees in the South.
Wow.
Nobody knew who Nexus was. They thought we were a hair products company, I think. So we had to work on that rebranding. And we've moved from those 5 employees to approaching 100 employees in the South. And we're in Orlando, Jacksonville, Atlanta, Raleigh, Nashville, Houston, Austin, and Dallas now. And all, that's all been organic growth.
That is huge right there. And I don't people realize that the organic growth, it's harder to do than just
it is.
Plug and play.
Yeah, and prior to the Dimension Data acquisition, we as a company, Nexus, had never made an acquisition. All of our growth has been organic.
Yeah. Well, I think it has to help getting acquired. You came from the M&A space, so you knew a little bit about this. So you really helped probably them through the growing pains, right?
Yeah, I've lived through them on both sides of the equation. So, yeah, those are always good learnings. And I can tell you that from that experience of being in that finance and merger and acquisition business and seeing a bunch of those transactions, this one has the underpinnings of a highly successful merger of cultures, which in my mind is primarily important.
Definitely.
Any company can be acquired from a financial perspective.
But if they don't fit together,
if the cultures don't match, it's not going to work. Okay. I've seen it fail so many times. This one feels like it's very right.
So it's a good fit. They've picked a good company. They're really smart when they picked Nexus, as you guys communicate. So there's not going to be growing pains too much.
I don't think so. I don't.
Well, that is great to hear. So after that, what's coming up for you guys in the coming year? What are you guys' world domination plans for next year?
Okay, that's accurately put. So our growth plans are still we actually have our foot more on the gas now than prior to the acquisition. Next, as a company, was growing organically at 40% year
which
over
is
year.
Huge
amount of growth. And Dimension Data wants to increase their growth, but not just in the U.S., but globally. And they see the combination of these two companies in the Americas as the
flagship.
It's kind of for the Americas to meet what they want to do over the next three, 4 years. That combined engine is very powerful. They bring to us a lot of things we didn't have. We bring to them a lot of things they didn't have. Okay. So it's really a good marriage, and there's not a lot of geographic overlap.
Okay, that is huge right there. So if our listeners want to learn more and reach out, what are the best people to do that? I know you said the medium to large-sized companies, but those are the ones that you want to get more in front of.
Correct.
How would they reach out and contact you guys?
Well, you know, we're present on, obviously, with, you know, the website, nexusis.com and dimensiondata.com, both of which are being converged and merged. I mean, the acquisition is the ink's just barely dry. It's only been a matter of weeks.
Well,
it's been a wild couple of weeks. But they can go there, certainly. We're very active in social media, so you can see us in all of those venues. And then we're also active in a lot of lead generation and marketing campaigns and learning activities with our customer partners.
Okay. And before we wrap up here, just go over real fast the services that you guys offer again for our listeners so they can recap.
So it can be anywhere from, you know, traditional networking to storage, high availability, backup and recovery, virtualization, compute platforms in the data center, wireless technology, security infrastructure. And then on the pay-as-you-go side, you know, the managed services and the cloud offerings, they're really just a different consumption model of those same technologies.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for sharing all that with
thank
us
you.
And being on. All right, and thanks to all our guests today. This is Kevin Finn for everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Atlanta Technology Leaders is brought to you by Band of Coders. Band of Coders is a company of talented software developers who energize clients' projects and their development teams.